about. Man, God is on the throne. He is right where he needs to be today. No matter what happens in the election, don't get caught up in that. Get caught up in Christ Jesus. Amen. What he'll do for you. I've been hearing lately of churches splitting over because difference in opinions. There's only one head, and that's Christ Jesus. Amen. So this morning, I want you to know that this morning. Let's just worship God in spirit and truth. The Bible said there's going to come a time when true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth. And this morning, I ask you to turn with me very briefly to Genesis chapter number 45 this morning. We're going to begin reading in verse number 16 through verse number 28. And I want to preach a very simple title this morning, but when I seen it in the text, it really stuck to my heart. It really encouraged me. And I want to preach this morning, when he saw the wagons coming. When he saw the wagons coming. When he looked up and he saw his help was on the way. When he looked up and he saw something that was greater than he, something that was better than he, something that was stronger than he, even though he was down and out, he'd finally seen something that could get him out. And this morning, if you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand. Genesis 45 in verse number 16, and the Bible says, "And the fame therefore was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleaseth Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, Do this ye, lay your beast, and go and get ye unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your household, and come unto me. And I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded this to do ye, take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours." And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and he departed, and he said unto them, "See that ye fall out by the way." And they went out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, "Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt." And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And to get this, and when his daddy saw, and when he saw the wagons coming, and when he saw the wagons which Joseph has sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Folks, there are some things that you and I need to see. There are some things that our kids need to see. There are some things that our grandkids need to see. They need to see the hand of God on a local body church. They need to see the hand of God in our life. We don't need to hide out and die out. We need to stand and say that God is on the throne. Amen. Hey, that God is good. He said, and when he had seen this and he saw the wagons and saw Joseph and sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." Father, we love you and we thank you. Lord, I thank you that I've seen your goodness. I thank you that I've seen your hand. I thank you that I've seen your mercy. I thank you that I've seen your grace. I thank you that I've seen your salvation. Lord God, I pray for everyone that is in this room this morning, Father. Lord, that one that can't see the wagons coming. They can't see tomorrow. Father God, they can't see nothing. Only thing that they can see is today. But I got good news that you're still on the throne. Lord God, you're still showing up and showing out. You're still saving people. You're still doing mighty works. And Lord, I pray, Father, for that one that's walked in heavy burden and heavy laden, Lord, I pray that they get at the feet of Jesus this morning, Father. Lord, I pray that your will be done. I pray that you show somebody that help is on the way. Father, I ask you once again to guard my throat and guard my thoughts. I do all the work in this place this morning, and we'll be careful to lift up your name, give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory, and no other name but the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. This morning as we come here in Genesis chapter number 45, you remember the story very well. If you go back and you have heard the story, or you've even read in Genesis chapter number 37, the one about Joseph having a coat of many colors that his father Jacob had made for him. He had made this coat of many colors and he had stood out in the life that he lived. Friends, I want you to know, if you've been saved and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, hey, you've been clothed with a coat that will make folks jealous. You've got a coat on you this morning. You've been anointed this morning. You got something on your life that the lost man doesn't have. And when he got that coat on him, it made his brothers very jealous, and they stripped him of his coat and cast him into a pit. And some wanted to even kill him. But Judah said, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. He said, I tell you what, let's not kill him. Let's just sell him off. Let's just sell him off to the Ishmaelites. We'll get him away from us. He'll be out of our mind. He'll be away from us, and we won't have to think about him. So they took his coat and they dipped it in goat's blood to make it look like he had been killed. And they carried that coat of many colors, that coat that his daddy had made him. And they took that coat and they took it to that father, and they said that his son had been killed, and he had been eaten, and he had been destroyed, and he had been devoured. And you know what his father did? Jacob said that he would go to his grave mourning. He said that he would go that way, and there was no life left in him, that he didn't even want to live. I may be talking to somebody this morning, this week. Hey, you've experienced something that you say, I don't even want to live, preacher. Life is not worth living. Hey, do you know what's going on? Hey, yes, I do. And can I say to you, life is worth living. Amen. Hey, if you get that on your mind, that life ain't worth living, you remember that this morning, that's not of God. That's of the enemy. That's of Satan. If you want to get out of this life and you say, I'd soon be dead, you remember that this morning, rebuke that in the name of Jesus. That is not of God. That is of Satan. Jesus said that he's come to give life and that we may have it more abundantly. Friends, this morning, can I say to you that evil was coming there? But over when you read over into Genesis chapter number 38 through 45, we see things start turning around. Oh, Joseph, he got to a place. He became governor. He got elevated. He got lifted up. He got put in a place that he could take care of his family, even though they had done him bad, even though they had done him wrong. You know what he did? He turned the other cheek. When they needed help, you know what he did? He come up beside them and helped them. And I want you to know, not only did he help them, but he went to Pharaoh and he said, I'm going to send something that they may know. And you know what he sent? Man, they loaded up wagons and they got sent down there to Canaan that they may grab his father and bring him out and bring him back to Egypt. Hey, can I say to you this morning, it may be dried up where you're at. Hey, but God's got a plan for you. He's got a place for you. He's got a purpose for you. And if you're in here this morning and you're spiritually dry, I got good news this morning. We got a God in heaven that can pump water into your life. He can pump water into your soul. He can take a dry, no good nothing and make him something. Can I get an amen? Hey, as I read this morning, I want to show you, when he saw the wagons, what did he see coming? He looked up and he saw the wagons. You say, preacher, what was in them wagons? I want to share with you what the Bible teaches were in them wagons when they were on their way. And he looked up and he seen what was in the wagons. I want to ask you this morning, if you look up this morning, what do you see in the wagons? Hey, what do you see in your future? What do you see God is doing in your life this morning? Look with me, if you will, in verse number 19. I see, first of all, the promise of God is found in that wagon. I see God's promises all over it. He says in verse number 19 of chapter 45, now thou art commanded this, do ye, take the wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, your wives, and bring your father and come. He said, you go get my daddy. You go get where he's at and you bring him unto me. You bring him where he needs to be. We need mamas and daddies bringing children to the house of God. Hey, can I say to you this morning, you say, preacher, is it worth it? Yes, it's worth it, because the promise of God is this, and if you'll raise them up, they won't depart from it. The Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse number 25, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a child of God that God will go get and bring him out of a land where there's nothing and put him in a different land. I thank God this morning that when he saved me, he didn't leave me where he found me, Brother JD. When he saved me and washed me by the blood, he didn't leave me where he found me. When he saved me, he brought me out according to his word. He promises us that this morning. This morning, I don't know about you, but you can stand on the promises of God. Any promise he's made you in this book, you can stand on it this morning. I seen when he saw the wagon come, he seen the promises of God coming toward him. But I also see the provision of God in verse number 21. He said, are you sure about that? He'll always provide a way. Amen. Look at his promise there. He said he's the promise of God, but look at the provision of God. In Genesis 45, in verse number 21, and the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandments of Pharaoh and gave them provision for the way. What does that mean, preacher? Anything that was in the way, God kicked it out of the way. Woo! Glory! Amen! Anything that was stopping up the trail, God kicked it out of the way. Anything that would be a hiccup, anything that would be a stumbling block, anything that would cause them to fall, you know what God did? He moved it out of the way. Even though Canaan was a drying up and Egypt was where it needed to be, and that's where they needed to go to, Brother Les. You know what God did? He set up a way that it might happen. Hey, what the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. I say to somebody this morning, hey, God's on your side. Amen. He's not against you. He's for you. He's made you a promise today, and he's making provision along the way. He's guiding the trail. He's scouting it out, making sure everything's right. He's lining it up. Friends, I want you to know God is on the throne. Amen. He's lining it up. And we as Christians, it's time that we get on the mountaintop and shout that God is good. Amen. Woo! Glory, God's good. He said, preacher, you act like you're excited. When I think about his promises and how he's made provision, I can't do nothing but get excited. I can go from the old to the new, anywhere you want to go in that book, and it's good. Amen. You can go anywhere you want to in that book, it's good. You can open it up anywhere you want to in that book, and it is good, and it'll feed your soul. I see the promise of God when he saw that wagon coming. You know what old Jacob thought? He thought it was over with. He's just ready to die. But the Bible said it ain't the way it is. Why? Because he's seen something greater than him. This morning, I'm telling you, if you get your eyes on this church, listen to me. If you get your eyes on this church, you're going to be discouraged. You get your eyes on this church, you're going to get discouraged. You're going to say, well, I don't like it this way. I don't like it that way. The preacher's too loud. The music's too long. They stand too much. Get your eyes off the church. He said, well, do you know what the world's doing? Then you got your eyes on the crowd. It'll discourage you, man. You'll get sideways. You won't want to do it. But if you get your eyes on the cross in Christ Jesus, you won't be looking at the church. You won't be looking at the crowd. You'll be looking at the cross. And looking at the cross and looking through the cross changes everything. When that wagon was coming, it was nothing more than a picture of God's promise and God's provision. But it was also nothing more than the picture of God's protection over that family. There's people in here right now, I'm sure, that you ought to done be gone, done with. But God's hand's been on you. God's hand's been on you. You thought, I'll never recover from this. I can never come out of this, preacher. Can I say to you, if God's on your side, you will come out of it. You will come out on it, and you'll come out better on the other side than you was then when you went in. You said, do you believe that, preacher? I guarantee you that. And this is the month, October. I love October, amen. I love October 31st. A lot of preachers preach against Halloween. They hate Halloween. They want to curse Halloween. They want to curse that day. I don't look at it as Halloween. October the 31st is when God finally set me down. October the 31st is the day I got busted and put in the jail. October the 31st is the night I got busted and God finally got my attention and set me down. He said, preacher, you remember that? When you had something happen in your life, you won't forget it. And now looking back, I see his promises, how that no man could set me down, but the God of heaven reached down and set me down. And not only did he make me a promise, but he gave me provision. He protected me. If I'd have kept living that life, I'd have been at Ott's funeral home dead, no good for anybody. But you know what God did? He sent a wagon my way. He sent a cross my way. He sent a Jesus my way to show me that there was life, even though the enemy made it for dead. He showed me life, and he said, you can have this life, but this life is only found in Christ Jesus. So October the 31st, when everybody's doom and gloom about Halloween, I love this time of year, because that's when God set me down, and he stood himself up in my life. He said, you get saved that day. I didn't get saved that day, but that was the start of it, brother. That was the start of it. I thought I'll never recover from this, but looking back now, all I can see is the wagons of God, how he sent them my way. How he sent them my way. Let me show you the promise, the provision. Let me show you the text, the protection that was sent his way. Man, protection that was sent his way. Look with me, if you will, here. The protection that was sent his way in verse 25 and verse number 26. And they went out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. And they told him, say, here's what they told him, saying, here's that protection. Joseph is yet alive. He thought his son was dead, but he's alive. Is that not amazing? All these years, he thought his son was dead, but now he's alive. There may be some of you have kids that's went wayward and you think they're dead. I got good news. God can raise them up. Look what he said here. And they went out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father and told him the saying, Joseph is yet alive and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted for he believed them not. Folks, can I say to you this right here? When you see the wagons coming, it's going to be up to you to receive it or you to reject it. It's completely up to you the way you'll receive them wagons or you'll reject it. Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, He is faithful in what He does. God is faithful in what He does. That same promise He's promised me, He's promised you. The same provision, the same protection. Everything He's given you, He's given me if I will receive what He wants me to have. I want to say this right here. When you get to the point that you see the wagons and you see how good God has been in your life, I want to share with you what will happen in a man, woman, boy, or girl's life. What will happen in their life. I see in verse number 27, look with me, I see that Jacob's spirit revived. It revived. When you look what God can send your way, your spirit will revive. Look what he said here in verse number 27, and they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. So what does that mean, preacher? His spirit revived. That means his spirit was restored. It was restored. What had been tore out of him, what had been broken, what had been so bad on him, now finally it was restored. Can I say his spirit wasn't only restored, but it was refreshed? Folks, there's a time that we're in right now, a time of refreshing, that you can get refreshed in what God's called you to do when you look beyond yourself and look onto what he's sending unto you. It was a time his spirit was restored. It was a time his spirit was refreshed. And it was a time his spirit was rekindled with fire from above. I don't know about you, but I thank God for what he's done in my life. Don't you? I thank God for what he's done in my life. I thank God that when you brag on him, you don't have to worry about him messing up. He don't mess up. You see what he says here, his spirit revived. He said, my son is yet alive. This morning, I wonder whose spirit needs revived this morning. Lost all your joy. Lost, man, you just a saved Christian without any joy. Preacher, can you get there? I guarantee you can get there. The cares of this world will take you there. I wonder who this morning's spirit just needs to be revived. Look in verse number 28. I see not only his spirit was revived when he seen the wagons coming, but I see his spirit was ready. It was ready. Look what he says in verse number 28. And Israel said, it is enough. I've had enough. I've had exactly what you told me I need, Father, and I'm going to trust you in my life. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Jacob said, I'm going to see my son. I'm going to see what God has done for me in my life. Jacob's spirit was ready. He's ready to go see his son. He's ready to go get his son. And he has something to do before he died. Can I say to you in here, you got something to do before you die. You're not finished. It is enough living the way we live, and it's time to get on board what God's called us to do. Can I say to you in here, if you've ever seen the hand of God in your life, you need to share it with somebody. Daddies and mamas, if you've seen God do anything in your life, share it with your kids. They said if you want to turn the world around and you want to reach the world and turn it upside down, love your family first. Mom and daddies, you need to tell your kids what you've seen God do. Older deacons in this place, old deacons in this place, you need to tell your grandkids what you've seen God do, his mighty hand on your life. If you don't tell it, it won't be long, you'll forget it. If you don't tell what God has done and tell how good he's been, it won't be long, you will forget it. As I get to preaching, I get to thinking what God's done in my life and how he's just blessed me. And I'm not talking about but one way spiritually how he's poured that blessing out in my life. Each and every time when I need him, he shows up. And when I think I don't need him, he shows up. And the other night when we was up there in Knoxville, Tennessee, I'm telling you what, the Holy Ghost moved all over me. And I'm talking about he got to stir in my life to tell a story. And when I told that story, that how your kids need to know that God will move. We got a generation here that's not seen the hand of God move. You've got a generation in your home that's not seen a miracle in what God can do. They're relying on Brother JD's testimony, Brother Brent's testimony. They don't have their own and how God moved in their life, how he sent a wagon. He made them a promise and he stuck with it and he sent provision. They don't have that. They've heard of it, but they've never seen it. Folks, I don't want to hear about it. I want to see it. I've heard my daddy tell me all my life, I don't want to hear it, I want to see it. Daddy, I promise I won't do it. He said, boy, I don't want to hear it, I want to see it. And we was up there in Oxford, and the Lord just pierced my heart, Bud Tony. I told him about Kaylee and her big test in RN school. And man, I'm telling you what, there's sometimes God tells me stuff in my spirit that I don't want to tell because I know it's God. But old Satan tells me, if you tell it, what if it ain't God? You tell a man something, you tell somebody something, you say, God said this, you better make sure God said it. Hello? You better make sure it lines up with what God's telling you to tell that person. And I'll never forget that morning we woke up at 5 o'clock. Some of you have heard this, but I'm going to share it again. I'm talking about help that's on the way. When you see the wagon coming, you're not just blowing smoke. You see it coming. And God said, you tell this. Here's what I want you to tell this person. He said, preacher, I don't believe that. That's why we ain't seeing the hand of God move the way it usually moves. That morning we woke up at 5 o'clock. I dropped my first cup of coffee. Spirit got to stirring and talking to me. Man, I got listening. I got hearing. I was in the book and I was reading it. And he said, I want you to tell Kaylee when she wakes up what she's going to make on her test today. This is 8 hours before the test is taken. Hello? Anybody can read the mail after it's done taken. I'm not no prophet. I'm no priest. I'm no king. I'm just a born-again child of God just trying to deliver the message. I'm just toting the mail trying to deliver the message. And he said, I want you to tell her what she's going to make on that test. Before she got up, the devil done got to wearing me out. But what if he ain't? But what if she don't? What are you going to do then? So that's what we're living right now. He's got the wagon done. Whoa, glory. The wagon's done loaded, son. Hey, the wagon's done loaded. He's just looking on somebody to pull it. The wagon's done full. You got blessings you ain't even tapped into yet. The wagon's full. You just ain't hooked up to it yet. And drug it where God wants you to drag it. Take it where God wants you to take it. I've been praying, God, you don't have to show me no more. I believe you 100%. I said, but I got a 20-year-old daughter that the world's telling her she's got to dress a certain way, act a certain way, be a certain way, do what the world does. I said, God, she needs to see you. She needs to see your face and not no man's face, but God's face. And that morning he woke me up, Brother John, and I went in there, and she come in there, and Ryder was up. He's 2-year-old. And I told her, I said, baby, God told me something. She said, okay. I said, I'm going to tell it to you, but were you willing to receive it? She said, yeah. I said, it's about your test. She said, oh, Daddy, don't start that. This is a big test. I said, baby, I just got to tell you what God told me. She said, Daddy, this is a big test. And she started tearing up a little bit. She said, Daddy, in RN school, this is a big test. I said, I'm going to tell you what God told you you're going to make. I said, he told me you're going to make a 91 on that big exam today. And she said, Daddy, don't start that. She said, you know 80 in RN school is a good grade. And some of y'all here has been through school and y'all know 80 is a good grade. Back where we come from, 66 is a good grade. That got you through solitude, amen? You can tell by how I'm talking and how I'm acting. 66 is a good grade. They just wanted us out of there. Some of us had Miss Jeffers's and Miss Markham's, and we can get these kids through here. Just get them out. Y'all can listen to me. And that morning, listen, I'm telling you, as we sit there, she said, Dad, no, I said, listen, baby, I've been doing what I'm supposed to do, but you're going to have to be willing to receive what God has told me to tell you. Are you willing to receive it? And she'd be back and forth talk. She said, I'm willing to receive it. Me and that 20-year-old and that 2-year-old, we gathered hands and we circled up there in the living room and we prayed that God would touch that test, touch her mind, bring back to her remembrance, illuminate her mind, bring back to what she studied and let that test be. We prayed, she left, she went on to school, and I went on about my day. Wasn't thinking nothing about it, wasn't praying no more about it because I done been released from it. What are we praying, man? I'm telling you, God done gave the answer. A lot of y'all are still praying about something. God's done gave you the answer too. You're praying about it. He's done gave it to you. But you just keep on praying. He said, I done gave it. That evening, about 2 o'clock, she called. I'm talking about snot coming out. I thought she'd had a wreck. I'm honest. I thought she'd done had a wreck. I said, baby, what's wrong? Daddy! I said, baby, listen, calm down. Daddy can't hear nothing you're saying. You got to calm down. We got to talk. What is wrong? You know, I thought the tire gauge went out on her car or something. You know, that's a breakdown we have. The cars don't have a tank of gas, you know. And a debit card ain't got no money on it. That's the kind of breakdowns we have around our house. And she said, Daddy, you can believe what I made on that test. I said, baby, what'd you make? She said, I made a 91.3. Son, I started having a shouting fit right there. She said, Daddy, what does the point three mean? I said, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I said, they'll never do nothing against one another. They'll always line up. They'll never go against one another. They'll never, one won't lead you one way and one lead you another. One won't lead you over there and God leads you over there. When all three of them gets hooked up in your life the way you want them to be, they'll lead you in the right direction. They'll lead you to the right place. And they'll show you in their life that there is a God in heaven and He will move on what He wants to move on. Can I get an amen? You say, preacher, what will that do for a 20-year-old girl? I want you to know it'll revive her life. And some of you in here this morning, God has showed you stuff that'll revive you, that'll restore you, and that'll rekindle that fire in your life. We need a church that's rekindled this morning and seeing the hand of God that the wagons are on the way. Amen. You said, preacher, I don't know about that. I do know about that this morning. You said, what does it take to get to right where God is this morning? It takes nothing more than a person willing to be obedient to what He's called them to do, to get on their face before an almighty God and say, Lord God, I need You. If you're lost in here this morning, Lord God, I repent of my sin. You know what repent means? I'm wrong, You're right. I'm turning, I'm wrong, You're right. He said, come, let us reason together. You know what reasoning is? God's not going to reason with you. You're going to reason with God. God, You've always been right. I've always been wrong. Lord God, You are the Savior. I'm the sinner. You're the substitute, and You're who I need to come into my life, to repent, to turn, to go a different way. Call on His name. He said, preacher, when did it happen? It happened instantly. When He saved me that day, it happened instantly. When He saved me that day, when that provision come. Listen to me this morning. I'm going to tell you this. You say, well, I've been saved. Praise God. What about your joy? What if it ain't where it needs to be? What about if your spirit needs to be revived, restored, or rekindled? What about that this morning? You say, preacher, what do I need to do? Get on your face before an almighty God. You know what David did? David, listen to me. David had committed adultery. Remember that in the Bible? He committed adultery. And boy, I'll tell you what, in a local body church, somebody committed adultery, they want to stone them. I'm telling you, here today, the world we live in. But God forgave him. You know what he did, though? He got over there, and he didn't get down on his knees and ask God for forgiveness, and he got rocking on there. And you know what happened, Brother Brad? You remember the story. The prophet come to him, and he told him, he said, what would you do about a little ewe lamb? A man only had one to come and stole that ewe lamb and took it for his own. What would you do, David? What would you do if somebody did you that way? He said, oh, I wouldn't put up with it. He said, I wouldn't put up with it. I'd take care of it. I'd handle it. And you know what Nathan told him? Nathan told him, said, you the man. And then David was inspired to get over there in Psalm 51 and said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know what he said he'd do then? He said, I'll teach sinners. I'll teach somebody the goodness of God. Sister Ava, this morning, the goodness of God's all over you, young lady. God's got bright future for you, bright hopes for you. The goodness of God's all over you. Brother Aaron, it's all over you this morning, son. It's all over you. Wagons are everywhere loaded for you this morning. His promise, His protection. The baby's in the hand. Look at that. Holding that baby, rocking that thing. What'd y'all name it? J.C. J.C.? JC? Yeah. You may have a BJ one day like that. Wide open. You see it all over your life, son. Even when you didn't know Him, He blessed you. Blessed you with a wife. Blessed you with a little baby. He said, son, I've done sent the wagons. All you got to do is get on board. This morning, God has sent a wagon to somebody this morning. It's rolling right by you this morning. Rolling right by you this morning. He said, preacher, I got everything I need. Everything's good at my house. It may be today. What about your future? The wagons are coming. And my prayer this morning is this, that you look up and you say, man, my spirit's been revived. My spirit's been revived. Lord, whatever you send my way, I will receive it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I don't know about you this morning, but I thank God for that story in the Bible. That even though Joseph, he thought he was dead, when Jacob heard, his spirit was revived. When he saw the wagon, his spirit was revived. God's here to help you this morning. You're going to have two choices as Miss Denise comes and the ladies. You're going to have two choices this morning. The two choices is you can sit where you're at and be fine and go back out the same way you come in, the same old way. Or this morning you can receive what God has for you and say, Lord God, I understand. I don't like bowing head, closing eyes, and raising hands. That just ain't me. If the Spirit's pulling, whooping you, He's going to whoop you, and you're going to get where you need. He's going to get on you. But if I did, say I did do that this morning, not for salvation. Say, don't raise a hand, but I said, I wonder how many Christians in here this morning that you ain't where you were a year ago. Your joy ain't where it used to be. You ain't where you used to be, where you just love to get up and go to the house of God and tell somebody about Jesus. And that fire was just bubbling on them. If I said raise your hand, I'd probably say a lot of folks in here would pop their hand up. You know why? Because the old devil tries to steal your joy every day. So what you going to do when you see the wagons coming? Are you going to let the Spirit revive you? Are you going to let the Spirit restore you? Or are you going to let the Spirit rekindle that fire that's inside of you? I ask you this morning, what are you going to do with the wagons when you see them coming? Father, we love you and we thank you, Lord. I pray.